Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And thanks for taking the time to be with us on this Friday afternoon edition of our broadcast, and looking forward to wrapping things up here as we again approach the end of yet another week here in the Grace Hour, and excited about what's coming up next week as well. And again, we will be sharing some thoughts with you today as we continue our theme on the subject of the nation of Israel and signs of our times. And if you've been listening throughout this week, you know that Pastor Ben has been with us, and he will be with us once again today and sharing during the devotional portion of the broadcast, and then staying with us here in the studio to answer your questions and receive your comments and testimonies as well. Again, friends, we'll be broadcasting live for the first half hour on our local station, WRBS, 1230 on your AM dial. And, of course, the full hour-long broadcast will be carried on the Internet Live at gracehour.org and, of course, on Facebook Live, YouTube Live as well. And we are looking forward to having you join us. When we open those phone lines, friends, you can participate in the broadcast. That's right. The phone lines will be open. Dial one of the following numbers. Join us live on this Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers, 800-338-7060. Again, that's a toll-free number. You can dial that number in Canada as well as the United States, 800-338-7060. The local number, 410-483-3700, right here in the Baltimore area and throughout the state of Maryland. And looking forward to having you join us during the broadcast today, friends. Well, we're, again, excited to have Pastor Ben back for yet one more broadcast, and I believe that he'll be heading back to Jerusalem within the next few days.
Yeah, that's right. My departure is supposed to be on a Monday. Yes.
So this will be probably our last day that we'll have you here in the Grace Hour, and we sure have appreciated you sharing the portion that you've been bringing forth, and the insight into the Scriptures has been very encouraging for all of us and our listeners around the globe as well. So we're going to hand it over to Pastor Ben right now and remind you that following the message, again, the phone lines will be open and you can join us right here on this Friday edition of the Grace Hour.
Thank you, Pastor Love. I must say that the time here has been so meaningful to me. And when I'm thinking about going back, I have all these wonderful memories, wonderful experiences with such a loving body of believers right here in Baltimore City. When people in the world hear the word Baltimore, it's easy to think that, wow, there's a lot of crime in the city and problems, and the news often give that kind of an image. But I have to say, Baltimore is my favorite city in America, really. The other places are in Texas, but Baltimore is really my favorite place. And even going and strolling along the streets, it has a special character, and there are people that are willing to hear. And there's one church here, I'm sure there are others as well, that is willing to reach out, and I thank God for that. Now, concerning the Bible, the Bible has two sections, like in here in the West, it is known as the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Hebraic, we call it Old Testament a different way. We call it Tanakh. Some people were so radical that they ripped the middle page away from these two parts. Just to illustrate it, that it's actually one book, and the second part is a continuation of the first part. But it's pretty much like the pictures are in the I use the word Old Testament. Okay. The pictures are pretty much in the Old Testament. Wow, the creation of the world, the lives of the patriarchs, all the amazing teachings, how God took his people through the wilderness out of Egypt, bringing back to the promised land, to experiences of Israel, then captivities and coming back, and the great reformers, Ezra and Nehemiah, and the wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs. We could say, like, almost like in one sentence, that the pictures are the movies are in the first part, and the teachings, the doctrines, are like in the second part. In the New Testament, first we see the life of the Son of God. We see the life of the Son of God in four Gospels. How wonderful. Then afterwards, we have the teachings. Now, I'd like to share a few things in terms of the Song of Solomon. In the wisdom literature, we have some books from King Solomon. We have a couple of Psalms. We have a Psalm from him, but then we have certainly the book of Proverbs, very wise book, filled with practical wisdom. I have a friend who did a lot of business, and he based his business on the book of Proverbs. He did it righteously, and God always blessed him. We have Ecclesiastes. In Hebrew, we call it Kohelet. It's like the Congregationalist. I don't know how to translate that word. The man who brings together a congregation. And then we have the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs is a book that there was a battle in Israel's history once. They wanted to take the book out of the canon of Scripture. There was one rabbi called Rabbi Akiva. Now, Akiva is a unique rabbi because he did many things that we couldn't really agree with, that the very difficult things. He fought very hard always to get his viewpoint through, but God used him. And he said, keep the Song of Songs in the Bible. He said, it is the Holy of Holies of the Bible. But he said, read it spiritually. Because actually, if you do not read it spiritually, it's a pretty crazy book. It's like, what is it in the Bible? But it's meant to illustrate our life of faith, the love of God. Israel looks at the Song of Songs like Israel's relationship to God. Church looks at it like the church's relationship with God. Hey, it's an open field. Whoever loves God can take it. And we know that we get to God through our beloved Messiah. Okay, Song of Songs. And I would just take a few verses and a few liners from here that are so much of a key for us. Song of Solomon. The Song of Songs. The Song of All Songs. No wonder it is a song, not a poem, it's a song. When you think about a subject of love, I've never heard on radio poems on love. I'm sure they exist. You hear songs of love. Why? Because love puts a song in the heart. Love is something, it's like another language, like a song is something that it just rises above the mundane, into the mysterious that draws the heart. And in Hebrew viewpoint, the whole Bible is a song. There's a melody to every verse. There's a melody to every chapter. But also you can make your own melody. I tell you the truth. I love the scriptures. I read some other books here there, but not so much. But I'm glued to the Bible. And many times when I'm tired of reading, I just sing. It may sound strange to you, But this is the ancient custom in Israel, that we sing the Bible. It is a love song that God intended to give to man. But there's one thing that really the enemy of our souls, the devil, didn't want to give us that love song. I would like to go for a second away from the theme of the love song to the book of Colossians. To the book of Colossians. And there to chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, it says like this from verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen ones of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as the Messiah forgave you, do the same. And above all these things, put on love, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I'm not sure if I pronounce this right, perfectness or perfectness. I'm not so good in English. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ, the word of the Messiah, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Solomon wrote the wisdom literature, but the Messiah has also become for us the ultimate wisdom of God, and righteousness and redemption and all that. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Spiritual songs are songs that the Spirit has given to us. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In singing, in songs, there's not only harmony of words, there's also harmony of the melody. There's a harmony. And then this harmony that we express and experience with God, as the Word of God is in amazing harmony. It's saturated with redemptive power and redemptive message. It's saturated with the peaceful river of the water of life. And as we experience and exercise ourselves in the harmony of these songs and teaching, then that harmony translates to our relationships. Verse 18, wives, live in submission to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That's expression of that harmony. Husbands, love your wives. And when husbands love their wives, there's harmony, and submission is easy. It's not demanding, but it is responding to that love. But we husbands, we know that sometimes we forget to love. So if the wife first says something kind to us and nice to us, then we remember, oh yes, I just love my wife. I love my wife. I love the Lord and I love my wife. Love your wives and be not bitter against. Love your wives in plural, because there's plural husbands, one wife to each one. And be not bitter against them. Bitterness breaks the harmony. You know, animals like dogs, they have a ear that can hear higher sounds than a human ear. They can hear harmonies. The way that God has created the universe, everything works in a rhythmic way with amazing harmony. If we had an ear that was tuned properly to the to this other sound, to this other frequency, we would hear the harmony of the universe. We would hear it like a song. And the people, some people that have had what we call the near-death experiences, they say that there's such an amazing harmony of music of love on the other side. Well, but we don't only need to rely on their testimonies in a scripture. And then children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's harmony between husband and wife. There's harmony of love and obedience between parents and children. And then fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Provoking and talking too harshly could damage that soul of the child. They could be discouraged, and there wouldn't be that harmony. Oh, there's such a harmony. And whatsoever you do, verse 23, first servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then there's harmony between the servants and those that are the managers at work. How precious, how wonderful. It's all in a harmony of love, harmony of wisdom. The enemy tries to steal that harmony. Sin destroys harmony. The reason we hate sin so much is because we love that divine harmony. It's between the Father and the Son. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's between us and God. And then it's between a man and his fellow man, and in the body members in the assembly. And then verse 24, after we learn that we do it with the heart, the harmony has come into the heart. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord, the Messiah. And then he says, and not to do wrong, not to do wrong, because God is not a respecter of persons. And wrongdoing would disrupt that harmony. How wonderful is that harmony? How wonderful is that love? So in the Song of Songs, just a couple of short thoughts. God is drawing us to himself. The good shepherd is drawing us. He says in verse 4 of the first chapter, draw me, we will run after thee. That drawing is to that personal relationship where he draws us. It's like, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know, all knowledge of God is good, but I'm after the first hand of knowledge of God, which is knowledge of his life, knowledge of his love, which is experiential knowledge, which is focused knowledge. It's accurate, but it is focused, where scriptures come together. And when the Holy Spirit opens up the book, the Holy Word of God, we may be listening to it in an assembly meeting, we may meditate at home, or we can be on a street level and talking to people and people that we know, or to strangers. And it's so great we can say that, you know, I was reading the book of Psalms lately, and there was such a comforting thought. Have you read the Psalms lately? I still remember many years ago there was a advertisement, have you driven a Ford lately? We haven't heard that advertisement for years. But it's a great question to ask somebody, maybe in an airplane or in a bus, have you read the scriptures lately? Have you thought about it, that you have been created in the image of God? You have been created in the image of God. Have you found what that means? Have you found how to kick into that? And if they are interested, we can say some more. Salvation is contagious. The love of God is contagious. Holiness is attractive. We never believe the devil's lie that holiness is boring. No, sin is boring. It looks attractive, but it's boring. It may seem to give enjoyment for a season, like it says in Hebrews, but really it's ugly at the other end. To walk with God is attractive. Our Savior is so attractive, and His ways are so perfect. This life is contagious, and we just pray that more people will find it. And we spread that light to people. Amen.
And amen. Well, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Ben still with us for one final broadcast this week, wrapping up the thoughts that, well, we have all so much appreciated while he has been with us, not only live on the Grace Hour, but also here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in the mornings, each morning at 11, the lunch wrap to follow, and then, of course, each evening at 7 p.m. in our chapel. And that will also include tonight. And we want to extend that invitation to anyone that may be tuning in, listening to the Grace Hour today. You're welcome to join us tonight in the chapel at 7 p.m. And you can, again, sit in for more of this teaching that has been enlightening and encouraging and edifying our souls, building us up in our most holy faith. So, again, the phone lines are open, friends, as we, again, wrap up the first half hour, move into the second half hour right here live on the Grace Hour. And you can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll free. 800-338-7060. And the local number 410-483-3700. We can also receive your emails if you'd like to send them. Our email address is questions@gracehour.org. And of course, you can send us your comments on Facebook Live, YouTube Live as well. Yuka Bori, I'm sure you know him, sends his greetings to you from, I believe, Budapest, Hungary.
Thank you, Jukka. Köszönöm.
Yeah. Of course, you and him go back a few years, right?
Actually, the first time I came to the party house, the place of where the discipleship was happening in Helsinki, I just walked in with a suitcase, and the men were there, and it was an evening, and I said, "Do you have any place for me to sleep?" There was one slot on the floor where we could put one more mattress, and it was next to Jukka. So Jukka was my introduction to this ministry, and I tried to figure it out from him what the ministry is like, and it was kind of like a puzzle to me first, because Jukka is so wonderful guy, and he's so original. He was sort of my introduction to the ministry.
And that's interesting the way you described that when you came into the ministry there in Helsinki. You didn't just come to sit in a meeting. You came and you were looking for a place to stay.
I came to stay, planning to stay, and it happened.
That's amazing. You should tell the folks maybe about some of the early days there in Finland, because, of course, that was one of our first missions in the world from, at that time, Maine, the state of Maine. Pastor Schaller, of course, going out and meeting so many of you back in the early 1970s, correct?
Yeah. Actually, he came in 1975. I was still in Israel that time, and then I came to visit. And somebody told me that there was a ministry in Helsinki, and I went to them because I knew them, and I asked them what are they doing and if there's any program that I could fit in, and they recommended me to go to see Pastor Schaller, and they said they got a lot of stuff going that might be what you need, and I went. And then it happened that I came with my suitcase, and I asked Pastor Schaller kind of like that, would there be any work for me? He knew I was a Bible school graduate. So he said, yeah. It was an evening. I came. I crashed on the floor? He said, yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning, we hit the schools. So brush your teeth and have a cup of tea. And then we went the whole day. We were in school. So I interpreted him, and that's how it got started. Yeah.
Wow. That's a nice bit of history there, those early days. And, of course, you've been reflecting upon them. Pastor Schaller has as well. And rightly so, because those were the beginnings, right? The early days of how God called you and raised you up and impacted not only the country of Finland, but the surrounding countries as well.
But what is really amazing that we didn't have too many questions. Our question was basically, where's the next rap session? When can we hear the next lesson? Where's the next prayer meeting? And then and so on and so on, and we had outreaches. But it was always connected to the Word. And then when we learned the Word, we had a desire to share it on a street level. But everything was, where is the Word going to be opened? Mm. That was our life. And actually, that is our life still.
It is today. Amen. Wow. Well, again, friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, and we are going to take our first caller in just a minute, because we're going to wrap up the first half hour of our broadcast. And many of you, of course, have reached out to us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and we certainly appreciate that. We'll get to those comments as well. And Carolyn, I'll just let you know what she said. She said, thank you, Pastor Ben. I so look forward to hearing all of the messages from your entire visit here at GGWO. What a breath of fresh air to my spirit. God bless you, sir. And again, Carolyn is like one of those that will be, again, going to the archives, and they'll be able to listen to all of the messages, all of the meetings, and everything that you've shared, as we will make it available to our friends, not only on Grace Hour, but anyone who would like to access it, gracehour.org or ggwo.org, and you can hear all the messages from Pastor Ben's visit throughout this week. Well, we'll wrap up the first half hour right now, friends. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Those of you that are listening on WRBS locally here in Baltimore, if you'd like to, you can transition over to gracehour.org, and you can join us for the full hour-long broadcast. Everyone else, stay right where you are. Again, this is our last half hour with Pastor Ben here on the Grace Hour, so we want to take full advantage of it. And again, we want to invite you to join us. Those phone lines are open, so weigh in and share what's on your heart. All right, friends, we appreciate you staying with us. We are live on the internet at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Again, we thank you so much for being with us, for joining us, and we hope that if you have the opportunity, you'll give us a call. Pastor Ben, again, staying with us for the full hour-long broadcast today. So we're going to take Brian's call. No, we're having some trouble with the phone lines. Apparently, we are, so we're going to try to work through them. Let's try to connect with Brian right now. Brian, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Pastor Love and Pastor Ben. I like another day you said, Pastor Ben, like God multiplies in our lives. And back to 2011, right now, and now 2020, God has provided me every day. You know, some people say, like, God, it's too late. God is never late in our life, because God says, ask us, do we have food or do we have that? We have everything. Sometimes, I don't know, when I moved to America, I think, I don't want to judge, but Americans have a lot, you know? And we have to remind ourselves, like, we have so much, and God has multiplied in our lives so much, you know? And Moses didn't have a bed. Paul didn't have a bed. And those people in the Bible, they slept outside, you know, and they were so thankful. And I just, what I like is, like, when God say, do you have food? I say, yes. We say, yes. Do we have everything? And God says, you know, God says, you have everything. But when you have so much, you have to give, you know, because sometimes we ask God so much in our life, and we have so much to give. But what, sometimes we don't realize this, like, how much do we have, you know? And I like today what you say, run with Jesus, you know? Amen. And go, and we won, because God finished that finished work at the cross. So thanks for your encouragement. Love you.
Thank you so much, and what an important viewpoint that is. God has given us such a rich table, and he reminds us of people whose table became a snare. The reason it became a snare, because they stopped giving. So we want to be always those people that keep giving. Thank you for reminding of us that important point. So important.
Amen. Phone lines are open, friends, 410-483-3700. That's the local number here in the Baltimore area. And the toll-free number is 800-338-7060. Bob Blue has written to us, says, Pastor, can you explain Leviticus 26:18? I'll read it to you, Pastor Ben. It says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And, of course, that's just one verse in the 26th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and I believe it, again, speaks both of the blessings of obedience and then the results of disobedience as well.
Yes, when we consider the times that Israel had to be, there's a whole context to it, and I had a Bible, another Bible where I marked down all those years of Israel's captivity. It's really real how God has measured all these things. But now he's brought back the captivity of Israel. So the punishments, have they limit, or the disciplines, have they limit? And now we're living in an amazing time when God is restoring his people. God is restoring. And the Orthodox Jewish world is looking forward to have an even a greater restoring. They look at a restoration in a level that there's a lot of people have been scattered who don't know their identity. And even those the Lord will bring back. So the Sanhedrin is right now talking about the restoration of all of Israel. I'll just say one thing about this. When it comes to Jubilee, if you look in the Jewish information bank, you'll find out that Jubilee was after the Northern Kingdom was taken out to captivity. The Jubilee was never celebrated after that, because everyone should be able to come back to their inheritance. And so many were gone. But the massive Jubilee will be when the Messiah returns. So for us as the people of God, when the Good Shepherd, our King Messiah, returns, all of the children of God will be gathered. We'll all have our portions. Everything will be completed. We will not be divided to this group and that denomination, but will be all the glorious kingdom. And that's why we want to be among those who get to be in close to the King and be his disciples today.
Beautiful. Thank you. 410-483-3700. Let's go to Brian next. Brian, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, pastors. Hi, Pastor Ben. I was thinking of Psalm 23, and I was wondering if you could comment on that psalm and the portion where David speaks about his cup running over.
Okay, Psalm 23, the psalm of the good Shepherd. Yeah, I know it by heart, but I very quickly turn it to us right now so I see it. I have a visual memory. Yes. Yeah, there's a table and there's a cup. There's food, there's drink. There's the lamb, there's the living bread, and there's the living spirit that is the spirit of the word also. Surely goodness. Oh, wait a minute. My cup runs over is there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Yeah, the enemies are close by, but they cannot stop the feasting. The Lord protects that table, but we also have to really protect that table. But God doesn't let the enemies steal it from us if we hold on to it. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The way I look at it in the practical, there's so much we could say about it, but in the practical, our ministry to people is from an overflow. We take the word, we take what we learn, and we love him back with the love he gave to us. We have this secret place of the stairs with the Lord. We fellowship with him. We have those moments. We have that time, that secret life. And then the overflow of the cup we give to people. You know what I love here? Every time when I come, it's a life that I also myself live, but we're not beaten to go and serve. I've never heard anybody say that if you don't go out on an outreach, you're not really spiritual. You're not really up to the task if you don't always do that and show up in the next prayer meeting. These things are available, and when the Lord is the fullness of our cup, the overflow, we can't wait to share something with others. And if somebody's sick and he can't go that week or something happens, never mind. We continue to share from the overflow. It works.
It does. You know, as you shared that, Pastor Ben, it just reminded me of when we came, my wife and I and our family, into the ministry so many years ago. We were hearing such life. We were hearing about the finished work. We were hearing about God's promises, and it filled us to the point of overflowing. Mm-hmm. And no one had to recommend that we serve. No one had to tell us, well, now that you're a part of this church, you have to serve. We were just longing to pour out what was poured into our lives. We were just looking for opportunities. And when they were presented, we jumped at them because it was a cup that was running over.
That way we never burn out. We never need to have a burnout experience. As a young disciple, very long time ago, I went to discipleship schools which had good principles, but I did it in my own energy. I did burn out. I'm not blaming anybody else, but I didn't get to the source. It wasn't the overflow. And then when Pastor Schaller came and he began to speak from the life flow, it was so healing, and I came out from a three-year burnout.
Wow. And re-energized. By the grace of God.
Totally. I'm still energized after all these years.
My understanding also, in the ancient world, if you were visiting a home and the cup on the table, as long as that cup was consistently being filled, it was a message to you as a guest that you were welcome. When they wanted you to leave, then your cup was empty and they were essentially saying it's time for you to go. But with an overflowing cup at the table in Psalm 23, it's God's way of saying, I never want you to leave.
Oh, can I steal that from you?
Please do.
That is really beautiful. That is so beautiful. Thank you. Wow, that's good.
Well, friends, the phone lines are open. We're going to go next to Alfred. He's joining us from Illinois. I have the Chicago area. Alfred, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love, and hi, Pastor Ben.
Yes.
I have something to say. You know, the Bible speaks about be holy, for I am holy. And I just want to ask this: the word holy mean to be set apart from sin? And can you add to that? And, you know, that kind of place is not easy to live.
thank you. Shall I say something? Okay. The common understanding of the word holiness is set apart. It's correct. Primarily in the Old Testament, with the articles of the tabernacle and so forth, it has to do with being set apart. It is correct. When we come to the New Covenant or the New Testament, it has an additional meaning. This additional meaning almost takes over, but doesn't do away with the first meaning. It is God-filled, God-saturated. And when I really dived into these Hebrew words, I got a shock, electric shock. When you take the word Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the word holy is a fair translation, but it's not the supremely focused translation. And some translated Spirit of Holiness, that's fairly good. But if you really translate the word Kodesh, Kodesh is a word for sanctuary, Spirit of the sanctuary, which means the blood is so powerful that when I say I have sinned and the Lord applies the blood, you and I, every believer, becomes instantly the sanctuary of the Holy God. Holy Spirit is Spirit of the Holy Sanctuary. And then he said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Now what that does to me is I say like, Lord, help me to appreciate that. And if I'm ever drawn to a wrong direction, let me remember forever your condescending love that you made my heart with all the other hearts of all the true believers. We are your sanctuary, sanctuary, Spirit of the sanctuary. Wow.
Well, you know, because I know I confess to the Lord and said, you know, I fall short so much. I know I'm a sinner saved by God's grace, you know. And, you know, my thoughts are sometimes they're very bad. You know, it's like, I know I'm in a constant battle, you know, and I struggle. Even now, I struggle with a lot of different things. So, you know, it's a real battle, you know. Sometimes Satan tries to make you think that, you know, you're not going to go to heaven and stuff like that. But I have to stand on the word of the God and, you know, because I believe in that once you're saved, you're saved forever.
Amen.
According to the word of God, you know. So.
Yeah, well, you're right about that, Alfred. You know, you brought out a good point, Alfred, and Pastor Ben beautifully just described that. I think in a lot of Christian circles today, in that whole idea of holiness has that connotation. You must be set apart from sin. Well, that's so true, but again, behind it is that no, we're set apart unto God. Because to just be set apart from sin does not necessarily mean you are set apart unto the Lord. I love what Peter wrote, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Because when you're in the presence of God, you're not thinking about sin. You don't want to sin. You're in the presence of God.
Yeah, like if you have three glasses, two of them are empty and one is full. The full one is set apart from the rest because of the presence of the element. And when the Savior comes in, he gives us the right thoughts. I think devil sometimes puts those thoughts, or he stirs our flesh and then puts our thoughts in our mind. And then he says, that's what you are thinking. We say, no, these are not necessarily my thoughts. Let me go back to my thoughts. They're right there in the Word of God. And then whatever he tries, we'll just call on his name. And like somebody said, when the devil knocks on the door, I'm not going to answer him. I'll send my advocate who always brings in the blood, who always defends us. We are righteous even at the in the lowest valley, And I know it's in your heart. I know it's in your heart. So these accusations don't really have any power.
Amen. Alfred, thank you.
Thank you so much, Padre Saban, and God bless you. Thanks for sharing, okay?
Amen.
I really appreciate this.
God bless you,
okay,
Alfred. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Angelina next. She's calling from Brooklyn, New York, and she has a question. Angelina, go right ahead.
No, this is James Meters.
Okay. Hold on, James. We're going to see if we can reach Angeline. We were supposed to take her call next. Angeline, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay,
hello?
There you are. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Love. Good morning, Pastor Ben. I have a question, Pastor Ben, on Isaiah chapter 17 concerning the burden of Damascus. And it's two questions. The first question is in 17 verse 7, who is a man that will look to his master? And does Isaiah 17, is the rapture around the same time as this burden for Damascus?
All I can say is that there are certain questions like, when is this exactly? And the same thing concerning the war of Gog and Magog. Is it before the catching up or after the catching up? I have not taken any definite position.
Okay.
There are great theologians like Dr. Fruchtenbaum felt at least at one time that let's say the war of Gog and Magog should be before the catching up, or let's say before the 7 years. I do not know. But I know this, that when these things begin to happen, which are difficult, the man that looks to his maker, it can be anyone. It's the humble hearts, it's the seeking hearts, and thousands of people, when they see there's no hope on the earth, they will look to their maker. They will find grace. They will find grace in his eyes. They will get to know him eventually if they desire to. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Because, you know, I know that the Bible says that no man knoweth the hour. And from what I understand that, you know, it says when Damascus will be a ruinous heap, and further in the scriptures it does say overnight. And so, you know, for years I've you know, my heart just wondered if was that of the man that will look to their maker, the Holy One of Israel, was it Israel?
Yes, I believe it's primarily about Israel who will be looking, but it's actually available to anyone. We're living right now in Israel in an environment when there's an attempt to bring peace.
Yes.
The way it is set up is not going to work, in my opinion. I think it's also, according to the scriptures, that it'll come to a problematic point. And then after that, there will be also false peace. But this the Damascus scenario could happen anytime. And when you look at the city of Damascus, even now, it's full of ruins and there's hardly anything left. But there will be also like a one event that'll devastate the rest of it. I have a difficulty to think that it's a nuclear bomb, because shepherds will be feeding there after that. So they wouldn't be feeding if it's polluted. It's got to be some other weapon, earthquake, whatever. But it's very, this danger is very real. This scenario is very, very up-to-date scene. Yeah.
And you just mentioned the peace treaty and the false peace treaty. So is that related to peace, then sudden destruction concerning the Antichrist?
It's going to come to it. Now, I want to make one thing clear, that I do not think that there's evil intentions on the part of our leader and the United States president. I don't think it's any evil intention. However, a human mind cannot think the thoughts of God. The way it is set up, in my view, it's set up for a disaster, not intentionally, but something will happen. And when the final man of peace will come, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But the word 1-7, period of seven, but the word confirm actually means to make great, to establish it and make it great, even greater. So at this stage, it's not going to kick in, but it's kind of like moving towards it quickly, which tells me, be ready. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen. Understood. Thank you so much, Pastor Ben.
God bless
you. Praise God.
Angelina.
Thank you, Pastor Love.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for the call, 410-483-3700. We're going to go now to Western Massachusetts, the Berkshires. Robin is joining us. And Robin, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you so much. I'm actually waving at my screen. I feel kind of silly. I actually am calling, referring to something that Pastor Ben mentioned earlier about being basically vessels for the Holy Spirit. And my husband and I were sort of discussing something tangentially related to this last night, and I don't know if it's really relevant to this, but I had to ask because I'm not going to have another opportunity. I'm also raised as a Jewish woman. I've been a believer for most of my adult life. And we were talking actually about issues of burial. And obviously, as a Jewish person, I was raised to believe that you need to be buried, not cremated, all of that stuff. So, Pastor Ben, what does Scripture say now? How does the believer address this?
A question about burial, cremation versus... Okay, in a Jewish thought, I think it's sort of based on Abraham's behavior. Like when Sarah, the wife of Abraham, died, Abraham bought such a fantastic grave place, the whole garden, the whole area, such a huge garden. I put so much money into it because that's a departure for the glorious next step to go with the Lord. Well, that time to go to the place of the waiting, and now we are in the direct presence of God. So in a Jewish understanding, it gives honor to the body if it has a standard burial. Honor to the body, very important in Jewish thought. However, if someone is cremated, it's not going to stop God's way of resurrecting him or her. God can resurrect the dust from here to there, whatever. Yeah. So if someone cremated, don't feel bad. Don't feel that they sinned against God and they won't be resurrected. But in a Jewish thought, cremation is not a preferred way and it's not a standard practice. But don't feel bad. God's power to resurrect is there either or. How do you feel, Pastor?
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree with that. Does that help, Robin?
Actually, quite a lot, yes. Thank you very much.
Good. Well, thanks for the question. It was a good one, and I think it's a common question asked by many believers today. And I think for in some instances, it becomes a matter of finances. Can they afford a burial as opposed to a cremation?
And in Israel, when you have a burial, the standard way is you take a sheet, wrap the dead body, lower it to the ground. That doesn't cost many pennies.
Yes.
So it's a different way. But in the West, we kind of, I guess that's not a way to do it. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, Robin, thanks so much for the question.
Thank you. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend, gentlemen. Thank you, and safe travels back home.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Let's go up to Brooklyn, New York once again. Barbara is joining us. Barbara, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Pastor Love, Pastor Ben. I was just wanted just to call in just to thank you so much for just the pouring out the rivers of water. Thank you so much for spending your life. You know, you didn't have to come leave Ramona, but you thought it not robbery to be here. And I just thank God for the pouring out. And my, I'm just excited about just depending on the Holy Spirit. to teach me what I have heard, not to try to think I can understand what I've received this past few days, but depend on the Holy Spirit, because I want it to be, you know, continue to be pure in my heart. And my prayers are with you, Pastor Love, and your wife, and with you, Pastor Ben and Ramona. And I'm just praying for the continuous of, I know you'll be just continue to be pouring out, praying for your health, and, you know, just God just guide and lead you.
Yeah, last night we were reflecting it that when we go to the tabernacle, we first go to the showbread to enjoy the feeding, and then we get the light. And it's not this strenuous mind exercise, but it's eating with ease the living bread. And then we get the light to our mind, which turns to faith, obedience, prayer.
Yeah.
So enjoying Him in all peace gives us that capacity, and the capacity grows.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Barbara. God bless you. Well, friends, we're going to wrap things up here in just a minute, but a couple of more of these comments that have come in. Jane writes on Facebook Live, and I think she really expresses what all of us would like to say. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Ben. We really appreciate the richness of your portion, which you've so freely shared with us. And of course, you'll be here tonight, Pastor Ben, in the chapel at 7. But for those that will be unable to be there, I know that I can speak on behalf of all of them. So grateful that you came. So grateful that you have been pouring out so consistently, and so deeply appreciate your ministry.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for all those that sent those comments. We never have time to focus on each one, but we realize them, we recognize them. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
And we do apologize. We didn't have time enough to get to all of the questions that you've asked. And again, appreciate your patience with us. And for those of you that didn't get a chance to ask those questions, again, you just send them to us here at the Grace Hour, and we will hopefully be able to address them at some point in the future. Again, Pastor Ben, thank you so much for coming, and especially for being with us here in the Grace Hour all week long. We know you've got a very busy schedule, still do, and it's really appreciated.
But I do miss my wife by now, so it's
yes.
been a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But I miss my wife, I'm being honest.
Time to go home. And we'll be praying, and a special thanks to Ramona from all of us to lend you to us for this week. We really appreciate that as well. So, Ramona, if you're listening, thank you so much. And thank you, friends, for joining us all week long right here in the Grace Hour. We're going to be back next week. Brand new week of broadcasts coming your way. Have a great weekend. Until Monday, may God bless you.
Listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.